Live.
Live. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Nerdy Up North podcast. It's a nerdy podcast hosted by a Northern Nerds. I am one of your hosts, Sam.
I am action packed for Action April with Action Lee. Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
And I'm Lee.
Who is that guy?
Who's
I've been dying for this.
Yes.
that guy?
So yeah, we had a little bit of an idea. Like say. Because we've been trying to like do different things, spruce things up, make things a little bit interesting, and like say, I think let's be honest, I do think Lee has been neglected a little bit lately. He's like because his little partner in crime, who swans off to holidays, has been getting all the attention. He's been getting all the female
That's true.
adulation, getting like new podcasts, like Anime Club, and stuff. And to be honest, I can't give Lee another podcast because Lee does a lot. But I thought we'd dedicate a whole month to what Lee loves. And what does Lee
Me.
love? He loves action.
Action.
Action. He loves cocaine. He loves boobs.
Kurt Russell's hair.
I've never touched cocaine. That's no.
Have you touched Kurt Russell's hair,
I
though?
wish.
Have you
It
touched
looks like beautiful hair.
a boob? That's the thing.
I've got a child, yes.
Right, but you could have a
Not
child
two.
without talking.
That doesn't mean you touched it. That doesn't mean you touched
That
a boob.
came out wrong. I've had a child with someone, so I have done the sex, as
You've
Goodwill likes to
done
put it. Yes.
the
You've
sex.
done the sex.
Right.
Right. So Bex must be so proud, bless her. But yes, we are back and we have the lovable Lee. Lee's got a little bit of message he wants to give out as well, because he's been a bit sad lately, haven't you, Lee? Why have you
I
been
don't
sad?
want. Well, Chris is in a better place now, let's
Right.
say.
Oh no.
But I've got this t-shirt on in honor of Chris. Chris, gone, but not forgotten. I just
Oh.
want Chris to know that we're all thinking of you, especially me.
Bless.
I will remember
Remember
you.
you. Pour one out for me, homeboy Chris. But yeah. But yes,
Oh
Chris has went
gosh.
on holiday and we thought we wouldn't hear from him. But let's be honest, he hasn't shut the fuck up.
I did tell him. He was like, "Oh, I might be able to get some Wi-Fi while I'm there." I was like, "Chris, unplug, turn it off, be with your family, enjoy the time." No, he hasn't. He really hasn't shut the fuck up. He's still here.
I think FOMO is the like Chris's biggest weakness,
Oh,
the
it's
fear
Chris's
of
middle name.
yeah. It's like
Chris Fumble.
Chris FOMO, yes. But yes. So, Sammy, do you want to get
Yeah.
the action-packed disclaimer
Oh,
out?
I most certainly do.
Yes.
So, everything discussed in today's episode is our opinions and our opinions alone. If you'd like to discuss anything from today's episode, please come and join us in the Facebook group. You can join us in the Discord or the comment section where we can have an open discussion. But what we won't have is anyone coming for us and telling us our opinions are wrong, because we can all agree to disagree in fandom. So, let's keep it fun, keep it kind, and keep the toxic behaviour out of nerdism.
Well said there. Now, with us starting Action April,
Yeah.
and I like again, people can call us wrong because like people have a lot of different favorite decades when it comes to action movies. But let's be honest, the 80s kicked ass for action. Like, I,
80s was
yeah,
action.
the 80s was action. I like that. I thought I would start this off because there's a lot of different ways we could have went. We could have went for Lethal Weapon. We could have went for Die Hard. We could have went for like even Rambo, but no, I've went for the what I believe is the most 80s action movie that has ever been made.
It's
Even
so
though
'80s.
it's the last official movie to be released in the 80s in cinemas as well.
Oh, okay.
Closing off
Well,
the 80s with an amazing film like this.
I've got the tagline, and there is only one tagline.
Right, okay.
It only needed the one.
Yes.
Two of LA's top rival cops are going to have to work together, even if it kills them.
So yes, we are doing
Yeah.
Tango and Cash, because I think everything
Yeah.
needs to be emphasized in this episode. Because Jesus Christ, would if there wasn't a scene or if there wasn't a line, I think in the script it must have had exclamation mark at the end
Yeah.
of everything and like how the deliveries. Now, the two. Like Tango and Cash are played by Kurt Russell and Sylvester Stallone,
Yeah.
which again, you think, does that partnership work? Can that be the thing? Because when you think of Sly, you think of Arnie. You think of Kurt Russell, he's normally like a one-man team. He is an action star, but he's more of a he's not known for like say
No.
action. He's more of a performance like Escape from LA, Escape from New York, Big Trouble in Little China, Captain Ron.
He's got his own little market, but did you know who it was originally wrote for?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Hey, always Sylvester Stallone was in mind,
Right.
always. But the other one, and again, I could actually see it kind of working, Patrick Swayze.
Right, okay.
But the Swayze goes off and does Roadhouse,
Yeah.
and then Kurt Russell comes in. But yeah, it was written originally for Patrick Swayze in mind.
I Swayze knocked his leg doing Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
Probably from all the kicks. I mean, I can't remember if there's actually that many kicks, or I'm just thinking of Family Guy with all the kicks.
Roadhouse. Yeah. I only watched this today for the first time.
Right, it's not that well known, I would say. Like I grew up on, like I'm like Lee. I grew up with certain movies. I think like say Tango and Cash, 48 Hours, Cobra, like Over the Top, and stuff like that. Came out like around about the same time, so there was a plethora of different action movies and the style of action movies as well. It was very LA or Miami. Cops being bad, not following the rules, being renegades, drugs, boobs, blonde women, car
Terry
chases,
Hatcher.
explosions. Like that was quintessential the 80s when it comes to action, if it wasn't like a martial arts movie, because then you've got like certain things like No Retreat, No Surrender and stuff like that. But this was it felt like it was like, what can we put in a movie and what can stick? Literally every cliche, every aspect, every speech, every little one-liner was thrown into this, and it's just fucking awesome. It's like
It's
watching it.
so
You'd back
cool.
last night. I was just like sitting there going, "I'll take it in because I remember it." But I never like with Tango and Cash. I enjoyed it when I was younger, but I enjoyed other films more. I think that was like a fair statement. But last night, this just blew my fucking head off.
I don't feel like I knew it growing up. I
No.
really don't. Obviously, I know the name because as people might be shocked, I don't actually live under a rock. But my first time ever hearing it sounds so daft, is through Max and Paddy.
Right.
When he introduces Magnum and Steel,
Right.
his comic book that he's been drawing up, and he's going Magnum and Steel, Tango and Cash, and like that's how I've heard the name before, is through Peter Kay.
Certainly. So, with Lee being the action maestro, shall we say, or the action adventurer, why, like, say, why are you such an action fan, and why do you love this movie?
So this was one of the videos that was in me cupboard of dreams growing up. Just the cupboard, like under the stairs,
Cupboards.
that had all the recorded videos off the TV. This
TV.
was another one that I shouldn't have been watching when I was a child. Most of the videos were just Stallone or Arnie. And this was one of my favorite ones, and it has been just my whole life. Like usually on my birthday, Bex will be like, "Oh, let's get a takeaway. Let's stick a film on. What do you want to watch?" And this is always the first film that pops in my head.
Oh, cash. I love that.
It's just ridiculous. It's a great film. It's not amazing because it's so stupid at some points, and it's got some terrible lines.
Oh,
But
no, it's got some amazing lines.
it's just beautiful. It's like it's one of the best buddy cop films. Like
Yes.
to me, it's the
Yeah.
original buddy cop film, even though there's ones before it.
Oh, I get that. I just, when you think of the two actors together, I like Paul said, I can't picture this working. And no other reason than they do come from two, in my movie watching history, they come from two different genres. I know Kurt Russell from The Thing and Overboard because I've not seen. I only watched Big Trouble in Little China. When did we do that
Last year, I
episode
think.
last year? I only
Right.
watched it last year. But Stallone's always been Rocky to me. So to kind of take him out of the rocky element and put him into something completely different. And by the way, he looks fucking beautiful in this film. There was some very great eye candy going on between Kurt Russell's hair, fucking Stallone's trousers. Oh my God. It was
Samuel was
absolutely.
checking out Stallone's package
It's
there.
when he, it
Okay.
was when he was walking into the precinct and he had his like suit on. I'm like, hey, back there.
I think they just
Nice.
wanted somebody with the hair as the counterpart. Like, obviously, it was always going to be Stallone, but it seems like in the 80s, like, there was Kurt Russell, Mel Gibson, and Patrick Swayze, and those three just seemed to like always be in for the same roles where they could, any
Show
of
off
them
their
could
hair
be in
type thing.
that place.
And it's the hair.
It was just the hair, that feathered
I
hair.
think
It's
Kevin
amazing.
Bacon tried it in Tremors as well, so
You know, when you sent me the picture last night of what you were watching, because of the hair, it took me a while to realize that you were watching Tango and Cash, because I thought you were watching They Live, because fucking Rowdy Roddy Piper. I mean, I know that part was essentially wrote for Kurt Russell, but Rowdy Roddy Piper has the same hair. It's the 80s hair. It's magical. Lee, grow 80s hair.
I was literally just about to say a few years ago, I was like, grow my hair out a bit. And Bex was like, are you not going to get a haircut? And I was like, I want Kurt Russell's hair from Tango and Cash.
Accurate.
And she was like, no, like, don't,
Yes.
please don't do that. And I was like, ah. But
It's
then it
because she
always
doesn't.
gets to a certain length and I just cut it off because I get sick of it.
I think it's because she's scared of losing you, Lee, because you'd be so insatiable. You like you
Yeah, I've
have
got.
all the nerdy women fawning over you.
I have some amazing rollers you can get stuck in your hair. Oh my God, you would look fantastic.
We'll get him a wig. We'll get this man a wig.
Wouldn't it be hilarious if he just like went and went, hold on, and put one on?
Wish I did.
Lee and
Should
his
have had
magic box of tricks.
one. But yeah, this as you said, I know we've like give it a bit like say a bit of an explosion at the start. That I think, and that's how kind of like the movie starts out. It is an adrenaline rush from start to finish. From the beginning, we get introduced to like the characters where Stallone's a ca character, I can't remember words right now, is basically Tango is basically starts off with a car chase. There's a truck being chased down, and he just pulls up, and it's so well done and so funny because it shouldn't work. He's just standing in the middle of the road. This big like gasoline truck is barreling down towards him. He pulls out his gun. For some reason, he drops all the bullets that's in his gun first of all.
Lesser penetrating rounds so that they
Right.
don't actually kill the driver.
Right,
Yeah,
okay.
it's not to kill, it's not a shoot to kill. This maneuver is something Jackie Chan's done before.
Right. Police story.
I was reading about it earlier. And he was highly impressed with how well it came off. But you get to meet Stallone as an up. I don't want to say he's uptight because he's really funny. His when he when they. Two bad guys get thrown out of the lorry. He's like, nice of you to drop by. Like,
Have some jewelry, help yourself.
And he's just, but he's smug and he's smarmy and he knows what he's doing, especially when that cop's like, I want your fucking badge. I'm gonna take your fucking job. And
He's going, who do you think you are, Rambo? And Stone
Rambo's a
goes,
pussy.
pussy. Do you know the amount of times I've seen this? The other day when I watched it, I'm embarrassed about this being such an action fan, but this is the first time I realized that the guy that flies out the truck window is the bring him to me. I want to like I never realized it was Conan.
He said
It's because he's
Conan.
got the bandana on when he falls out the window.
He called him Conan, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but
Oh, right. Sorry.
he's the guy that comes out the window at the start.
Yes, yes, yes. I knew that. Because
Yeah.
when you
I've
see him
never
later
realized
on,
that
I was like,
before.
what happened to your face? Like your jaw. Jesus. But then he kind of shoots him, shoot like moves him out the way to prove a point, like, haha, I am the best kind of thing. And then you met with a counterpart that is Cash, who is just he's done exactly the same as what Tango has just done, just really half-assedly. Like it's almost effortless for him, but a bit messy, not so cocky. Yeah, it was a brilliant introduction into the two of them.
I love that even the music like shows a bit of a contrast between them.
Yeah.
And I feel like Stallone's probably kind of behind this as well, being like, right, what Chris said about Phoebe the other day, going like, "I am the star of this show." I feel like that's what Stallone's done. Like he comes in with this intro, like with this like proper cool synth music, and then for Kurt Russell's intro, it's like like some proper like comical.
Bumble and Fool music, isn't it? Do 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 do
No,
do
you're
do
probably right
do.
there, because as you said, Stallone at this time was probably on as high like at the height of his like fame and powers, and Kurt Russell was a big name, but he probably wasn't as big name as Stallone, but he held his own. Like the partnership works because Stallone plays the straight man and Kurt Russell is like the wild card, almost like the Riggs character from Lethal Weapon. But the chemistry works so well is because you can tell Kurt Russell is just having a wildest time. Like he's just having the blast. Like you can see him smiling at more scenes and stuff like that and interactions. And like it's just brilliant. Like they're kind of like repartee, like the court scene, like when they're in court
He's
together.
so funny. It
And it
fucking
works.
sucks.
But this is how ridiculous like these type of action movies were in the 80s. It's like these two cops have been charged with like say murder, corruption, and they're not only are they in the same jail together, they're in the same court together, they're in doing the same pleas together. If this was a real situation, them two would have been separated, so they can't collaborate stories, they can't like say make stuff up. It was just absolutely ridiculous. And then how like they got moved from what they were supposed to be like, say, a nice, easy prison to a prison where nobody knows where they went. And it was just like, yay, people's missing. Yay.
Yeah, corruption upon corruption upon corruption. The when they get caught though, which is probably the funniest scene in there, when the police all pile in and the guy, honestly, he was working for that fucking paycheck. Where he was like, "I'm gonna fucking have you," like proper shouting at them. I was like, "Whoa there, like calm down." It can't be all that serious. What got me though is the amount of people I recognized through this, but couldn't say, "Oh, that's such and such." Like, I mean, Clint Howard, which is just brilliant. But then there's also there's a that fucking slinky. I was ready to strap him with it. Oh gosh, there was another one who was in the guy, the tech guy, he's from Scrooged. There was just so many people who I was like, oh, I recognize you. Oh, I know who you, but I don't know who you are. Like, I couldn't say your names. So I love that.
I forgot that Jack Palance was the main bad guy in it as well. So I was getting, oh yes, I fucking love this guy. And he went full like probably his Batman
Bond
mode.
villain.
But like it was like during the chase scene at the end when the cars are like flying explosions and he's sitting in and he's going, yeah, get him, yeah. It's just
It's
like
funny. It's when he's got the little mouse and he's going, "My beauty," and I'm like, "You
so weird.
swap it
Do you know,
out
like
with a cat." Go full Bond villain.
that wasn't even meant to be in the film. They just wrote him to just be a bad guy, but he went to the zoo with these like kids the week before or something, saw some mice and just decided, I really like mice. And he just bought some and decided that they were going to be part of his character. And now he's like, ooh.
It worked.
Well,
I was just
it worked though. Like he was so intriguing as a bad guy. He was very calm as well, and quite like he. It's almost like he didn't give a sh like he didn't give a shit if it went well or not.
You know what was the most interesting choice? And I'm going to use the word interesting because I don't want to do anything negative to this movie.
Go on.
Having an American with the worst Dick Van Dyke British accent playing an assassin. And the guy, I think it's Breon James. He's been in
Breon
loads of,
James,
he's been in so many action movies, and he plays always plays either like either dodgy bent cop or someone's friend.
you
And to have him play like there was no need to have him as a British accent. Like it made no interest in the story. It was just fucking bizarre.
he
It didn't.
wasn't
It
even.
took this sinister. He could have been very sinister, and it made it like, oh, you
It was all
what?
so cartoonish, so Scooby-Dooish, but he originally only had a line in the movie until Stallone heard the accent he was going to use and went, "Give that man more lines."
That's a stupid decision though. Like, just like, come there's a grenade in my pants. Oh, I need more of this.
Yeah. Stallone was like, I love this guy. I love what he's just done. Let's do more. It did break things up a bit, like, because there was a lot going on at some points, and you were like, oh, well, that was a choice.
Yeah, because he was genuinely menacing in the jail when Tango and Cash gets woken up and taken to the laundry room and separated by like the scores of different people, and he comes at them with the razor. I was like, oh, that's quite menacing. Then he talked. I was like, okay, any tension or anything that you've wanted to build in this scene has just thrown out the window. And it was you could even see like Kurt Russell trying to stifle laughing when he was talking as well, and that was the hilarious. But it was interesting what Lee said earlier in our group chat. I didn't know that there was like a cut version of this film, and I think because the version I had was when Conan got pressed up against the bars and the electricity torture scene. I remember, I didn't know that was cut out of the movie.
Amazon
version. It's just like some of the UK versions have, like they don't get dipped in the water and then electrocuted.
Right.
Lowered, the police rush in and stop everything.
Oh, I saw them get electrocuted
for a while.
Right. I saw them get electrocuted, so that's the one I saw.
And then the scene where they meet Conan face, and it's like, do you know this guy? And he's like, oh, I loved you in Conan the Barbarian. And grabs his head and smashes his face against the bars of his cell, and there's like blood running down his face.
They've cut
that out as well.
I can't remember seeing that bit. Oh, well. No, I didn't know there was a cut version. Because when you were saying there were cut versions, I was like, oh, my God, what am I going to have? Like, can I just watch the first one that comes up? Do I have to go and look for an alternative one?
It's strange that they've cut them bits out. Like, they're not even that bad. Like, the opening scene with Kurt Russell where he's in that car chase.
Yeah.
It's because it's like, oh, this is 80s. We need a boob in this scene. And then people are having sex in the car and there's a boob pops up. And it's like, That could have just been a car chase scene.
Yeah. There's boobs galore later on. Did anyone else notice Terry Pratchett had an amazing stunt woman doing her dancing for her? Because that's not her.
I saw it when she was playing the drums. I was like, oh no.
Oh yes, when she goes off and does our splits and our twists and our turns, that is not her.
No.
You can clearly see that's somebody else's face.
Bless. But this is Terry Hatcher before Superman fame, before Desperate Housewives.
Yeah.
So
she's beautiful. Beautiful in this film.
They did the whole switching beard where they thought that her and Kurt Russell was having sex when she was just giving him a massage, and then you had the whole tension between Tango and Cash because he's good. Oh, you're fucking my sister.
I didn't know it was his sister.
Yeah.
So because they have that moment in the garden where he's going, I didn't know she was your girlfriend, and as he says girlfriend, he goes sister.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? Wow, bait and switch.
But why was she making all those noises when she was doing the massage? Like, there was no need for her to be getting that excited and erotic.
Have you done a deep tissue massage before where you've managed to move someone's muscle about?
It's
amazing.
I usually just, like, sit on top and just be like, listen, Paul, just stay quiet. I mean, Bex.
But the question is, would you not make that noise if you were sitting on Kurt Russell's back?
Yeah, that's a question for you.
I think Kurt Russell could make you mourn just with his butt cheeks alone.
Possibly.
In them jeans.
Yeah.
Honestly, this was an absolute... You've got your boobs later on. Women and men got an absolute delight with them too.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful.
One of the greatest prison escape scenes ever as well. It was absolutely ridiculous because no prison guards or like thing would be this useless. It was kind of like everyone running the wrong way. It was like almost like an episode of Scooby-Doo, you know, when the bad guys are chasing the good guys and you see them going in different rooms and then like crossing each other. That was kind of like the element that you had, but I
loved it though.
Yeah,
this is why you didn't see Andy Dufresne quit leave Shawshank. You just saw him because nobody needs to see the details of how they got out of prison. But it was absolutely fantastic, and it's like the It's the one, it's I can't class them as one liners
Mm-hmm.
because then the whole film is just a dialogue of one liners.
Oh.
But their chemistry and the way they spoke to each other, it
Mm-hmm.
was like you could genuinely feel like they'd been friends for many, many years. I
Yeah.
don't know, but I don't know what their relationship is. I don't know where they stand.
So they know of each other, but they've never worked with each other type thing. Because,
Right.
like, say, that
Because
was the
that's a
whole,
different kettle of fish, isn't it?
yeah. Because that was the whole thing with it being West Side, East Side, whatever. Because with being South, so they have
Yeah.
different cops
But
doing certain things. So that's why Jack Palance has the meeting with these two like criminal underlords and goes, Tango's causing problems for you. Cash is causing problems for you. We need to sort out a solution. And that was kind of like the bringing together because, again, his thinking was clever. It was like, we can't kill them because that would bring them as martyrs and the police would come down harder on us. Let's kill the reputation and send them to prison. And then, like I say, we can have, like I say, the shockwaves and it gives them a bit of like breathing space. But the after effects for that, what should have happened is the corrupt cops, so everyone should hate him, so the convicts should have hated him, the police should have hated him. But for some reason the police didn't hate them. The police were like, yeah, cheering them, still believing them. It was like, okay, that kind of flip didn't work as much. So when they escaped, they were just walking around LA, no disguises, dressed exactly the way they are, and no one was stopping them. And there was
No.
only one moment where there was kind of like a oh, we've got him cornered. So that they do they probably give Kurt Russell like say inspiration for Tu Wong Fu when we get him dressed as like say in drag, which
You look
is an
beautiful.
amazing thing.
Them legs, my goodness. I don't even think I've seen legs as beautiful as that. He looked amazing. And I love the fact that, and he does this quite a lot, when he goes to adjust something, he does it with his middle finger. And he's too, but he does it quite a bit. And he does it with his glasses. He pulls them down and pushes them back up again. He does it with a gun as well. There's little bits like that I picked up on, but them separately they are brilliant. Together they are absolutely fantastic.
There's like I say, there's movie duos, and we had two last week with Laurel and Hardy. We've got have
Ah.
as I said, like say, Danny Glover and
Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson. Like I say, are great like chemistry. I think this probably is, if it wasn't so 80s and so out there, it probably would have a better following. Because I'm surprised that they didn't follow this up with Tango and Cash 2, Tango
I'm
and Cash 3,
shocked.
because.
There's been talks about it for years, but nah.
Oh,
I think it's too late
that
now.
high five at the end, man, that cemented an
But
absolute sequel, that. It really did. Because
that was the build up, though. That was kind of like the little thing. It's like all the way through, they almost did a high five, but never did it, because and it kind of cemented
The
the kind of relationship
high
they had.
five, and it's like, did you sleep with my sister?
It's but well, Terry Hatcher was like, well, why don't you just admit you work really well together? And I was like, is it gonna happen?
But I don't know how it could, like, because I mean, Stallone works in Beverly Hills and lives in Beverly Hills because he's rich, and he's like, always like, oh, yo, I was
Stallone
on the phone with my stockbroker.
in
But Kurt Russell's like, he's
the
definitely poor, isn't
slums.
he?
Yeah, he's in the
Does
slums.
yeah,
Yeah,
like
he's in the
that's
slum.
getting changed in the elevator, like
He
just standing
was,
topless around all the other policemen, and then I paid $9 for this shirt.
yeah, and he was devastated that he had marks on it.
And stealing that pizza as well, man.
Yeah. There's a definitely different contrast between the two of them, but that's obviously why it works so well.
But then going to prison, I think that has to bring Stallone down to his level, because obviously he won't have his money or his like
Yeah.
contacts or anything like that. And he has to kind of rely on Kurt Russell a bit more, and that weird tech guy is so strange.
I
Have to go to
like
him for
him.
help.
It was almost like a like this was like the 80s version of an American Bond movie type thing, because it had like the tech guy is Q. It had like he's like Captain who was trying to help as well. But you mentioned something before about like the weapons that they were using. Now, can we just talk about the guns for a moment? Because
Yeah.
normally, like say in action movies, you have like a specific style of gun. I think Arnie always has to try and have the biggest ones, and like they always have like cool things. Stallone rocked a little pea shooter thing, but looked
Beretta?
I don't know what it was.
Look at me trying to think. I know guns.
But then we had Kurt Russell with this futuristic thing with this like box with laser sight on the
It's
top
just
and
a
stuff
revolver with a
like
sight on top, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck? It's like so different, like contrasting, and not
Yeah.
what you're expecting for these type of movies as well, because you expect like to be the slickest or coolest looking gun and stuff like that. And even when they get the like the vehicle, like say,
Oh, the vehicle.
you expect it to be like this
Oh.
cool like Humvee or like 80s style sports car. No, it's a minivan with
Yeah.
basically a minigun to the side of it.
It's the Temu Batmobile, the Tango and Cashmobile.
This is the only part of the film that I don't really enjoy,
Right.
because it's
The
just
car bit.
stupid. It's so stupid. The car makes no sense, like this
No.
the RV from hell.
But
I
looking
don't
at
know
it from the.
who's shooting the guns. The producers have just went, oh, we haven't had many explosions in this film. Should
Yeah,
we
let's
do
get
some
some.
now? How many? Yes.
All of them. Just all of them. But you've got to think of the 80s. It's so new. And especially coming out of the 80s, it's so new money. It's so new technology. It's like more is better, like more is better kind of thing. So I get where the whole tech side of it comes from and, how flash Stallone is with these, Versace suits and his very lovely glasses.
Yes.
They are his glasses too. He was very pleased he could see for once.
That picture, he could play a grown-up Harry Potter.
Oh my God, yeah, he could.
Harry Potter takes roids and gets angry.
Stallone didn't
Allegedly.
take roids, did he?
Allegedly, but we're
Allegedly.
not making that river up yet.
Oh,
I
I don't
don't
think he took
think
roids, he took growth hormones, Stallone. It was like
he
some
did get.
animal growth hormone.
He did get a lot of plastic surgery, didn't he? I'm not making this up. Like, he's got a lot.
Depends
He's
which
had
year.
to.
But he's had to have plastic surgery because when he was born, the forceps damaged the nerves on the left side of his face, and
Yeah,
that's
and
why he's got the
a droop. Droop.
Adrian.
But he looks so different from like Rocky One to
No.
Rocky Four. There is like such a huge difference in them in the look.
Yeah, and this is what I think takes a lot of people by surprise with this movie as well, is because the performance from Stallone is so different to the Stallone that we've normally got. We've normally
Yeah.
got the manic or crazy Rambo, or like say the lovable loser in Rocky. This is so put together. He's so polished. He's, as I said, he's got his shit together, and he's good at what he does, and he's got a bit of arrogance to him. But again, if you're the number one cop in LA, you have that arrogance, as he keeps on telling Kurt Russell's.
Yeah. No,
But it's
they've.
just an interesting change from the Stallone that we normally get.
I agree. They referenced Stallone's movie, Rambo, to him. They referenced a Kurt Russell movie to him, and I can't remember what it is now.
Was it not Escape from LA or something like
It might have been something, because I was like, oh, clever, clever little bunnies getting that in there. But I can't remember what movie it was. I was like.
So I know this is an action movie, but again, just because of the references and the complete ridiculousness of certain aspects of this movie, would you class this as a kind of a parody movie?
No, it's a like comedy action buddy cop movie, I would say.
Yeah,
Right.
I can't. I not. It's not take. I generally think it's trying to be serious, but with a very with an undertone of funny. I
Right.
don't think it's trying to be the undertone is piss take.
Yeah.
I
No.
don't. I
I've
don't
just.
see that. I feel like they generally thought they or think that or thought they were doing a funny buddy cop movie.
It was just an interesting thing I thought last night when I was watching. I was like, just because of the elements, and as you said, the Jack Palance's character being all Bond villain with rats instead of cats, and then you get
Yeah.
the RV from hell, and
Yeah.
then the multitude of explosions, and just how ridiculous they are. It's like, were they trying, like, again, I don't know what happened, if like the original script changes and stuff like that, if, like I said, that might have been the vibe. Because remember the movies that came out at the time as well, there was the Naked Gun movies, Police Squad. So parodies were, like I say, a big thing. So it was kind of like, this was almost on the line a little bit, especially with the tech guy. And like when the van gets crushed, and he goes, why are you guys not talking to me anymore? What's happening? It's like, and there's the way it ends as well. It's like, it doesn't really tell you. I know we get the newspaper article saying heroes are back and stuff like that, but it doesn't really explain like how they got themselves off, because to be honest, they've just killed everyone that was basically involved.
Yeah, there's no evidence left. You've just killed everyone off.
They've got the tape.
They have the tape.
All the tape. All right, okay. Sorry. But I love the fact the newspaper played a part in the storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Like every time something happened, like you got the story at the beginning, the two different cops, mm-hmm. highly regarded, you know, back page Kurt mm-hmm. Russell. And then it just threw out, it was like the court case and everything, and then heroes again. Yay.
I find it crazy in these films as well, where they've always, the main cop in the film always has newspaper articles where it's like hero cop strikes again. But in real life, have you ever seen like a hero cop who keeps getting in the newspaper like every single week?
To be fair though, is there any cops out there like Tango and Cash? If we had a police officer that was blowing shit up on a daily basis, I think they would be in the newspaper.
Yeah.
Because of this, like this exact conversation right now, I was looking for this the other night to see if there's any hero cops in real life like this. Right. And there's plenty of stories, but it's only ever like one situation, and then these people have never like gotten into the newspapers again.
Right.
Like, there was one cop who had a fight on a flaming garage, like, petrol station forecourt, right. where he kept getting stabbed and then still getting back up just to stop this guy from blowing up a forecourt, and managed to, like, stop him and arrest him survive.
Shit!
It's like, just, like,
well done,
by
hero.
Fire as well.
That is fucking heroic.
That sounds like something out of an action movie, but then this guy just doesn't get heard of again. He probably retired after being stabbed, like, 30 times or however many.
He probably get, like, work comp or something like that. Now,
oh my God.
One of my favorite scenes in this movie, and again, it'll probably stick with us after, FUBAR.
FUBAR. I remember that from as a kid. People used to say FUBAR.
So I'm going to let Lee tell us what FUBAR is.
Fucked up beyond all recognition.
Oh, Lee, you are so going to be FUBAR'd.
Especially when Chris sees this video.
Yeah.
When he comes back from the angles.
It does give us some amazing lines in this film.
Yeah.
But I think most of them come from Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
Really?
I can't think of any Stallone line in this film where I go, oh, that was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, he pins some guy up against the fridge and he's like, by the look of your diet, blah, blah, blah. And I think, why are you talking about his spaghetti? Like, say something cool.
Yeah. By the look of your diet, I don't think you count calories. No, probably not.
The beginning where he gets the coke and he's like, does anybody want to get high? What?
Like, yeah. He's do you know who he reminds us of? It's Drax from Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, his funny is literal, whereas Kurt Russell's is genuinely
a little bit
funny.
It's more playful and like kind of going with the stuff.
Yeah.
And
don't worry, Pee-wee, the other one will drop soon.
That was a great scene, by the way.
Thought you might enjoy that one.
That was brilliant.
Oh, bless. You can tell Sammy's been home alone for a while.
I've been on my own for 2 weeks, but I'm home. Look, I'm home.
But then she's like, oh yeah, I can look at Stallone's butt. Oh, there's Kurt Russell's butt. Oh, look at that little dimple there on his left side.
It's been a great Friday morning, I must say.
Thought you were looking a bit flush.
That's just because I've been doing housework.
But I'm surprised this movie isn't more well known, especially like with the name of the film as well.
Yeah.
Tango and Cash, it's one of those that kind of sticks with you and it goes there. But I know with an abundance of action movies that were out during the 80s as well,
mm-hmm.
it was probably, as Lee said, the last action movie that came out from the 80s. With everything that hit, there was probably, like, say, as what a lot of people felt with the Marvel movies, like, say, a little bit of action fatigue, shall we say.
Yeah.
Because there's very little breaths or breathing space in this movie where you can feel relaxed or sit down. It is basically like full throttle from the start to the end. There's no kind of relaxing moments in there. There is a few, as you said, bits where you laugh. There's, I don't know if there's bits where you meant to laugh at times. Mm-hmm. The Howard brother, I can't remember his name now, when he's
Clint,
when he's basically trying to intimidate Stallone's in the prison with his slinky by saying,
"Nobody's afraid of crazy people."
Yeah. It's like, that's my best friend and I killed him. And Stone's like, okay. And he throws the slinky at him. And then the next thing you know, you see him, one, where does Stallone get the duct tape? And two, he's kind of like being given a mask of slinky, which is just one of the most like hideous things that you'll ever see. It's scarier than most horror films. Yeah. Like say the reaction, but he's just like, and poor Kurt Russell, whose cellmate is the size of like a house, he's being crushed underneath a bed bunk, which is never going to be fun for anyone though.
So they're walking through the prison, and Stallone goes, "I hate litter."
And again, this is
literal.
This is where the 80s is amazing, because I'm sorry, but how the I know I've never been to prison, and hopefully touch wood, I never will see a prison cell, but I don't think that's what like life inside of a prison is like, for example, where you're walking along and then there's just random fires just for no reason. I'm
just
sure
everywhere.
Yeah.
Just everywhere. Just random fires. I mean, I know that the prison system in America is very different than ours because it is privatized. Mm-hmm. So it's not run by the government, which ours is. Mm-hmm. So they may get away with a little bit more, but that was very movie prison setting.
Yes.
It looked great, though. Great shot.
I feel like Stallone kind of has a fantasy about breaking out of prison because there's just so many things. Like, there's the new ones where they did with Arnie.
Yeah.
The escape plan.
Yeah.
But also, another one of my favourite Stallone films came out literally a couple of months before Tango and Cash, Lock Up, which is where he's like Frank Leone. He's been in prison for a few years and he gets transferred to a maximum security prison and he has to try and escape. And
he must love a prison thingy. There's one Stallone movie that I absolutely adore, and for the life of us, I can never remember the name of it. It's where he's in the tunnel.
Daylight,
that's it. Oh my god, I absolutely love that film. I mean, and we have this like moment where we'll go, right, it's action movie time, and we'll start with Daylight and then we'll go like cliffhanger, and then we'll just go like start to like go through them all to the point where we're like, I love it, we're like, we need to stop now.
But with any type of like action movie and stuff, it ticked all the boxes. It had like corruption. It had abundance of boobs, as you said.
Boobs. There's something for everyone in this movie.
So, the big question now.
Yeah.
If you had to choose, are you going with Tango? Or are you going with Cash? Who would you want as your partner?
I'm going with Cash.
So Cash. All picking Kurt Russell. Over Stallone.
The hair,
right.
The attitude, the hair. It's all there.
And he has a boot that shoots bullets.
Exactly. He's a bit more... Stallone is, or Tango, is very smart.
Yeah.
So he's very calculated in what he does. Mm-hmm. Whereas Cash is very, just, let's just fucking do it. Let's just fucking go.
There was one thing I wanted to bring up as well. Sorry. just because you mentioned, like, say, Cash. The beginning chase scene where he's, like, someone's put a hit out on him and he's, like, someone's trying to, like, basically being tried to kill. He takes two shots to the chest in a vest.
Yeah.
And they later tell you, say, oh, I've got a bulletproof vest on. There's no way he was wearing a bulletproof vest. You, like, because he was wearing, like, a shirt and a vest. Like, you could... No.
You'd be able to see it. There'd be some kind of, unless that's like completely strapped to his chest, so that means there's hardly any protection there whatsoever. I didn't care though, Paul, because when he took the vest off, he walked through the station with knee top on, so
right.
I wasn't quibbling over that.
No.
So I just want to think. I've just had a thought about the whole who would you pick as your partner, Tango or Cash? Cash is so much cooler.
Yeah.
But also on the other hand, imagine after work, Tango being like, "Oh, do you want to come out? I've just like my stocks have gone up. I'll take you for a steak dinner." Or Cash being like, "Oh, do you want to come and sit in my apartment? Like, I've got like three beers in the fridge and my telly's not working, but."
So what you're saying to us is money equals friendship for you, Lee.
Is that
No, but like,
what this
I
is? Are
can't
you?
imagine what like Cash would be like outside of work. He just seems like he'd just go and sit in his apartment in his vest and
No, I think what
be
he would do
depressed.
is, if he's got three beers in the fridge, he's gonna make that work, and then he's gonna actually like have some. He's got some fun is gonna come from it.
Some fun is gonna come from
Yeah,
it.
I don't know. I
Or
can't
he'd probably be
see.
like, "Oh, let's go to a bar and pick up some women." And I'll go in and be like, "Oh, look, there's two women over there." And he'd leave with them both and I'd be by myself.
Oh yeah, if you're not gonna grow the hair, Lee,
Yeah.
then it's your
Oh,
own fault.
you can be hair brothers. That's the thing, Lee.
Lee,
Oh.
grow the hair, do the hair, get the Kurt Russell hair.
Oh, we shouldn't do this to Lee because he is very, like, when we tell him to do stuff, he
I'm
kind
easily
of,
influenced.
yeah.
You're very impressionable.
So, again, I'm going to change the rating system a little bit for this movie because I don't think it's fair to rate this like as a normal rating system by saying, how do you rate this movie? Like, generally out of like thing. So I'm going to rate it as out of action. So as an action movie, for everything that I would tick the box, what are you rating this out of 5? Not as a good movie or like what you would think is a brilliant movie, as an
In the
action
action genre,
in
in
the
the action
action.
genre.
That's correct, yeah.
Wow, okay.
So
I'll go because Lee will have to think about this one, I
yeah.
think. Probably not.
That leaves
I'm gonna
all Lee has done is thought think about this since we said we're doing Tango and Cash.
Yeah, it's true. I'm gonna go five.
5. Okay.
I this took 5 minutes. 5 minutes for me to message Paul and go, I'm fucking loving this, and it was we. I hadn't even been introduced to Kurt Russell properly, and I was in it. There's action. There's one-liners. There's Kurt Russell's hair. There's butts. There's boobs. There's action. There's car scenes. There's prison breaks. There's everything that encompasses for me in action. It has to be a five.
That sold the movie for everyone, so everyone who hasn't seen
Butts and boobs.
it. Bumps and boobs, that's the
Yep.
tagline. And what about you, Lee?
As an action movie, a 5. If you just said as a movie, like I know you've got this rule where if you would change something, you can't give it a 5. So as a movie, I would only be allowed to give this a 4 because I would change that end RV scene and like
Right.
make it something slightly different. I don't know what.
Like a tank or
But
something.
yeah, even a tank would make more sense, like, but as an action movie, it's got everything you need. It's got explosions, one-liners, cool characters, boobs,
But
and an amazing synth all the way through going
yes.
dim
Yeah, the music really puts you in a place of 80s. I know where I'm at instantly
I got a
with
vibe
that
of Beverly
music.
Hills Cop from the music choices that they're using for this as well. That's
Yeah.
why. That's why. Again, I know. Like I said, not go back a little bit. That's why I did get a little bit of a parody vibe, just because it was kind of playing back all the different tropes from basically everything that we had seen from the 80s. So it was kind of like
Well.
getting a mix and ball of all the different 80s genres or 80s action films. It's like, oh, there's a bit of a cop here, there's a bit of exposition here, there's all this thing, there's a music here. We'll put it all together, and this is kind of like what it came out with. This is our Tango and Cash
Tango and
cake.
Cash.
But yeah, as an action movie, I have to agree. There's very little. This doesn't tick the box, so I have to give it a 5 as well. It's just so interesting and different, but familiar at the same time. It's unapologetic. It knows what it wants to be. It doesn't try and
Yeah.
hide or pretend any pretense or say, "Oh, this is going to be the next Schindler's List" or anything like that, and try and be
Oh,
like
yeah.
all dark and moody. And because that's a problem with a lot of movies that we get these days. Not saying that movies we get is bad, but they forget that there has to be enjoyment, and like you can be silly, you can be absolutely ridiculous. They think everything has to be tied up in a nice little neat bow, because
Yeah.
people online are getting smart. I agree, but people as well, like viewers as a public, we have to remember this movie magic is real. You can like say lose yourself in a movie that can be silly, that can be just full throttle. Like, will this movie ever win any awards? No. Is the acting in this brilliant? No. But did I fall in love with the characters? Yes, because the characters aren't realistic, but they're basically cartooned of themselves to a point where you said this is just fun, like a fun conversation, a fun ride.
We have to remember what movies are actually made for. It's entertainment. Yes. Mm-hmm. And this is sheer entertainment. There's no bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
There's butts and boobs.
Butts and boobs. So, what, again, I know we rated a bit early, but I just wanted to ask as well, what was your favourite moment in this movie, Lee? We'll go to Lee first, and I'll come to Sammy, because Sammy likes to think.
The prison breakout.
Right. Which part of the prison breakout? Because it was in three stages.
Probably the whole roof bit, where he's got a fight face, and like the dive onto the electrical thing. Even though they're like, oh, like if you're not touching the ground, you can't get electrocuted. Oh, is that right? I think so.
it's kind of right, but I still think they would die.
Oh, I love that face guy as well. I'm sure he's credited with his face, like what they keep calling him, Conan. He's had a weird life as well. Like, he was born with cherubism, which is why his like face is like the shape it is.
The jaw.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he used to be a musician, and then he was a Chippendale dancer as well.
You know who I thought he was when I first saw him? I thought he was a young Steven Seagal.
Oh, he does. I has got that.
I actually thought he was related to the guy who was in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. There was just about these around his eyes, and I was like, and I was like, no, and I didn't realize the jaw. I didn't realize that was a.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
His real name is Robert Zarr.
Yeah.
Robert Zarr.
Okay. I don't know if that's his actual accent as well or not, or if they just went, oh, well, we're going to call you Conan. Can you do a bit of a Arnie thing? For like, hey. Come here, bring it up to me.
If they're going to let somebody do that absolutely horrific English accent, then yeah, but they probably had absolutely no problem with it.
But then pulling them around the roof in like... I don't know how water stays like that on a rooftop, but it was like a pond that was coming out, and they're saying, it's time to walk the dog. Come, doggy. And I was like, oh, Jesus.
There was a callback they never actually went back to when they were discussing if you touch electricity and your foot's on the floor, you don't get electrocuted.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he died. And nobody came back to it and went, oh no, it's not true. Because they both were like, well, yeah, I knew that. And then they're like, did you know that? And he's like, I don't know, actually. And he's like, well, I don't know either. And then it happens later on.
Mm-hmm.
No, you will get electrocuted. Even if your foot is on the floor.
Should have wore some
and
rubber.
They never came back to it.
Should have had some rubber soles. That's all I'm saying. Sammy, what was your favourite bit?
I love the intro. I really love the intro between the two of them, the two contrasts. I thought they were absolutely brilliant. The shower scene was immense. the court case was actually pretty funny. It's when Stallone does that amazing kiss ass, please forgive me, I'm a saint, really, not a sinner. Mm-hmm. And then fucking Kurt Russell just like, it says, fucking sucks. And what shocked me more than anything out of this action movie was the swearing. I honestly, the way that, you know, the setting, the aesthetic, the cast, I'm like, oh, this is going to be quite aimed, not for kids, but kind of like not as adult.
No.
And then they were like, fuck this, fuck that. And I was like, fuck yeah. Okay. I'm here. Yeah, I had a wild ride with this movie. I thought it was absolutely brilliant.
But I think that's what the 80s is for action movies as well. There was, as I said, it's very unapologetic. Not like now where people are like saying, oh, we can't have an 18, or if a movie gets a 15 rating, it's not going to make as much money because there's less people who can go and see
it. Put a lot of stock in that shit, don't they?
Yeah, I think the Dark Knight, when that came out, there's no blood in the Dark Knight movie because of how violent certain scenes were. They said it would get a 15 rating, so to keep the rating under a 15, they had to have zero blood in the movie. So again, it's
It's so ridiculous that real life things are not allowed in films. You cut your finger, you bleed. Do you know what I mean? It's ridiculous. And hey, but I say that, but back in the 50s, you couldn't have a toilet
No,
on the screen.
but I think there was a lot more freedom and a lot more, like, as I said in previous parts, risks taken with certain things where they were going, we're going to see what works. And this is probably where the decisions now come from these times, because as you said, Tango and Cash wasn't a big hit, didn't make as much money, isn't as well known. When you look
Yeah.
at like marketing images or like promotional stuff for Tango and Cash, it's very difficult to find anything different. It's all the same
Right.
kind of stuff. So that kind of, again, if you're a fan, it's sad because we like finding these films and enjoying it. But as a movie maker, I can understand the reasoning behind it, because you're not there to make movies because you want someone like a fan, you want to make money. And that's the best way to make money. So again, it's very much of the time. I don't think we would get, I know we get a few little things now, like Jason Statham's like an action's done some a lot of different action movies.
What are you talking about? That's Lee.
Oh, it's me, Jason Statham.
It's fucking Carl
But if you think about, like, say, the action stars now, we've got like The Rock, we've got Vin Diesel. They're not kind of the same level as
No.
what we had back then.
No.
Even so, like, we get excited when a new Expendables movie comes out and it's got the old crowd. And
Yeah.
again, it's just a bit silly. This is where kind of like that love and that kind of like not lost art, because it's still there. It's just like certain filmmakers or certain companies have to have the balls to try and go there and
Yeah.
do it.
Unfortunately, I don't feel like you'll get another likes of Tango and Cash ever again. That kind of movie, it just won't have. I know the Expendables tried to do something along those lines, but it still came off as a movie of that time, not that time.
Well,
Yeah,
think of like
it's
the most
sad.
recent like buddy cop kind of thing that actually has been successful. Maybe it's Rush Hour.
Yeah, Rush Hour. That's the only thing I
But
think of
I
recently.
feel like Rush Hour comes from an 80s love. Like there's 80s love and of the movies of that time being put into that film, because it is early 90s.
It's in the 90s, but there's been about
Is it?
four or five
Yeah.
of the
Oh,
Rush
I thought that was
Hour.
2000s for some reason, but
No,
wow.
there's been quite a
No.
lot of Rush Hours, but
No, but
yeah.
I feel like that's got a lot of 80s influence in there. But I can't think of any buddy action. I wish there was more though. But you're not going to get this feel ever again.
They're
Like
just remaking them, but they're not as successful. Like Starsky and Hutch, like, could have been good, but it was like Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson or something, wasn't
I
it?
actually quite like that because I was kind of into the Ben Stiller movement at the time. So like I did actually enjoy that. But if he hadn't made Zoolander, I probably would never have batted an eyelid with
But
Ben Stiller.
just ask that question now, because it's quite an interesting topic to talk on. If we were going to have a buddy cop movie, like say set like an action t type style, who would you cast out of today's like names?
Like today's.
That because there's no one again, and I know it sounds
Well,
bad saying, and this is not a bad thing, but most of the action stars or actors or people are too clean cut. There's no one
yeah.
that you can see. Like, you could see Kurt Russell as being an off the rails, but Mel Gibson is an off the rails action star in real life. He's the thing. But now it would be like someone like Chris Hemsworth or Hemsworth brother, or as I said, Jason Statham, where again, I love Jason by himself, but as a buddy cop thing, it doesn't really work. I think he tried it with Hobbs and Shaw with The Rock. The Rock again is more comedy rather than like full on action out there.
Yeah.
Where
The Oh, sorry, go on.
no, that's the thing that's like out there now, like out the names and like people think. Even what was the guy who did Drive and stuff like that? He's just on Barbie. He was in. He
Oh,
was in. He was in.
Ryan
Fall, Ryan
Gosling.
Gosling. He was in Fall Guy, but again, he's very clean cut. You wouldn't see him like as a. Like, oh, a cop that's going to break the rules type thing. And
Yeah.
it's like that kind of like type of
Only
actor is
thing,
gone now a bit.
the only thing I can cut that actually comes to mind that is very close to now is 21 Jump Street with Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of, because when you said who would you cast now, my brain instantly went to Channing Tatum, and I was like, oh shit, no, he's actually already done that, and it worked as well. But that's the only
Everyone's
thing
too
that.
beautiful now.
Everyone's there's no
Like,
one like
we're having
what are you
got
talking
all of these
about?
like,
Look at them too.
I know, but when you look at
Well,
them
me and
too.
Paul, thank you, Sammy.
But no, I think Lee is right though, because Stallone, as you said, he's beautiful, but he's not
Got that grit.
manufactured beautiful. Kurt Russell is someone like if you look at Kurt Russell in Overboard, you could see him as a carpenter. You can see him as a, working as a labourer. The only person I would say that's close is the guy who's playing the Punisher.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, John Berthnell.
John Berthnell, because again he's got that rugged handsomeness, but he's not as I said, he's not
Berthnell
like a
can
pretty
play.
boy type thing.
No, and he no, he's gritty. He's gritty and he's dirty and he can play vindictive very well. He's a brilliant bad guy. I can I couldn't say I could see him as a renegade cop, like, completely off the fucking rail, but like in a dark, sinister way, not like kind of a cleaner way.
Like a Denzel in what's it called?
Training.
Training Day.
Fuck me, I pulled that out my arse
No,
there. I've never even seen it.
it's very it's just a corrupt cop. King Kong got nothing on me, but yeah.
I have got a choice, but it's probably quite controversial. I don't think anybody else would agree with this, but I love this actor. He doesn't really get as much recognition as he deserves, although he's starting to come into it a bit. Well, who played Kraven the Hunter Man? Kick-Ass.
Oh,
Oh,
Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Aaron Taylor Johnson. Like he's
I've
kind of got
got
that
a lot.
rugged look a bit.
I got a lot of time for Aaron Taylor Johnson.
But I always thought he was like this kind of clean cut, kind of like pretty boy thing. But I don't know if you've seen Bullet Train, where he plays this
No.
kind of like English gangster, and he's got like this big thick mustache and stuff. And it's like this guy can fucking act.
He's he
Like
was in he was in
he could beat anything.
Nosferatu, and he kind of he's just he was a scene stealer. He really was.
So good.
I've got a lot of time for him. I feel incredibly sorry for him, but I have a lot of time for Aaron Taylor Johnson, so I'd be happy to see him in anything. I just want someone to be able to pull Kurt Russell's hair off now. Like, as in the actors of today having that hair.
So I think
It's
Sammy's going to
beautiful.
watch The Santa Claus with Kurt Russell after this, just to
Oh my
just.
gosh, my mum and dad absolutely love that. That's like part of their Christmas tradition, that is the Santa Claus Christmas Chronicles.
Christmas Chronicles. A lot of people have got a crush on Santa Claus because of that now. There's a bit.
Now
There's
that's a road I'm not ready to go down.
a lot of Santa fetishes coming out the window and coming out the door now.
Merry Christmas.
Sammy will get a sack emptied on her as well, but
Oh.
So on that note, so yes, so this was our starting point, our explosion kickoff point for Action April. Next week we are back, and Lee is back again, and we are joined by the fabulous Nerdy Jesus, which is Jake, and we are talking about the sci-fi fantasy Total Recall. So not the remake. We're going to do the Arnie version, where there will be blue skies on Mars. That's yeah.
The core
Consider
four.
that a
The core four are back together to
Yes.
do an amazing movie review. Because if you go back and look at our episodes where the four of us have been together, we've done some fucking banging movies. That
And Street Fighter.
was there as well. And Mario.
Oh God. But yes,
Yep,
fungus.
that's a thing. It happened. It's on YouTube.
So, what is happening
Yes.
tomorrow, Sammy?
Tomorrow, well, you lucky people, there's a new Monsters Up North episode. Start again. There is a new Monsters Up North podcast episode hitting YouTube at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we are doing the neo-western horror flick Near Dark,
Talk about vampires.
but not actually reference vampires, because there's not vampire. There's no talk of vampires, and there's no teeth. So, but we get into it. So that episode will be up tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the morning. The audio for that episode and this episode will be available before 6 o'clock tomorrow. Just need to search Monsters Up North podcast and Nerdy Up North podcast, and you will find your individual episodes.
Yes. And Lee, so what is the Grumps up to this week?
We've got a bit of a different episode this week. I don't know whether being like this 80 action thing, do I introduce it as like a, in a world where only one Tub Grump can reign supreme, one will laugh, one will fall. I don't know, I turned into Optimus Prime there.
You did. We're calling all Autobots.
So we didn't really have much time to plan because we had to like just stuff everything in and get some things recorded with Chris being away. Thinking of you, Chris.
I'll remember you.
We've got Sammy on this Tuesday's episode where we've done a try not to laugh challenge. So the three of us watch just like those ridiculous clip videos on YouTube, and whoever laughs the most loses, whoever laughs the least is the supreme Tub Grump. So on Tuesday you can find out who the winner is. We've also got some throwbacks to some historic things as well, haven't we, Sammy?
We do.
With
historic.
Sammy's old show, Two Girls, One... I'll not spoil it. We'll just leave it there.
Yeah. Tune in on Tuesday to find out who is the top supreme grump. What else is that? Am I on Monday? I'm on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Then you've got...
I'm on Saturday. It's actually Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
No, Saturday is gone. Saturday is in the past.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah, Ant-Man's already been done.
It was a really good episode.
What else? We've got the Anime Club. That'll be on Friday. I don't know what they're doing because I can't pronounce half the stuff they are doing.
No, me neither. Check their socials.
The lovely Phoebe. I believe Chris is over 500 press-ups needs doing now. So that's fun for him and watch him die. We've got a lot of different things out. I know, like I say, we've had the Rumblecast, with the new wrestling episode. That was quite an interesting watch. We've had Countdown to Doomsday. We've got so much and so things. So keep an eye on your socials. Like, follow, subscribe. Again,
hit the notification bell.
Hopefully you're seeing a lot more stuff because we're hitting a lot more people. But yes, that was our kickoff point for Action April. So same bat time, same bat channel.
Stay nerdy, everyone. Bye-bye.
Don't be a grumpy, a top grump.